Hello again, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Monday, the 8th of July. Hope everybody had a good holiday weekend. This hour of the program, we thought sometimes we just don't have enough time to talk with you about political issues. So we thought we would open phone lines during the course of this hour to hear your thoughts on a specific list of questions. Well, fairly specific. If you have a great area you want us to move into, that would be great. It's not really an open line, but we thought because we do so many political programs that we would look at, and we haven't done this for a long time, your general thoughts on how you think the presidential race is going. Now, obviously, you're a politically minded audience, so you've been following it, I'm sure, fairly closely. But what are your thoughts about the whole American public? Do you think that we're paying acute attention to the race at this point in time? Do you have a strong preference at this moment, July 8th, 2008? Are you strongly supporting either Senator McCain, Senator Obama, or are you supporting a third party? We spent the last hour speaking with Craig Gilbert about the vice presidential choices and that we look as Americans when we vote for somebody who excites us but also has the potential to be a president. Do the candidates, because of their youth, because of their age, need to look at age? Is that a significant factor in their selections right now? Would you like them to just get on with it and get somebody out there and nominated and announced in a hurry here, or is it okay to wait until much closer to the conventions? Is that enough for a list? That's the list that I have. And we welcome your phone calls on this stormy Monday, at least here in Milwaukee. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Joining us in Milwaukee, it is 414-227-2050, 414-227-2050. And let's just talk politics. Let's just talk for this hour about all of those issues and more. And I'm sure the first call will lead us to the second, to the third, to a number of different issues this hour. We start our calls this hour with Jay from Stevens Point. Hi, Jay.
Morning, Kathleen.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine.
Good.
Hey, I think Obama's going to pick Colin Powell for his running mate.
Do you really?
It would eliminate the possibility of anybody taking out the black person for president. You know, it would give him security and military background to counter McCain's military experience.
Mm-hmm.
But then I think McCain's going to choose Hillary.
No.
I think so. It would be perfect.
I haven't heard that mentioned at all. That would upset everything, what you just said.
It certainly would be interesting.
Yeah, it sure would. All right. Well,
thanks for having the show.
Thanks very much for the call. I know Colin Powell's endorsement has been mentioned for either Obama or McCain. There was some thought that he might be endorsing Obama. I don't know about a vice presidential choice. Some people are still mad at what he presented at the United Nations and concerning Iraq and the weapons of mass destruction, et cetera. Are we long past that? And I certainly haven't heard of McCain picking Senator Clinton, but maybe you have. We're doing kind of a general political open line this hour at 800-486-8655. I guess the big question of the hour is, do you have a strong preference at this point of the two major candidates or a third-party candidate, or are you completely up in the air? And then to talk about why you feel this way. Also, we're talking because of the first hour about vice presidential choices and who you think would be exciting on the Republican side or on the Democratic side. Steve from La Crosse is next. Hi, Steve.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
Very good, thanks.
Good.
I don't know who I'm going to vote for because I don't like either candidate.
Really?
I think the media nominated both of them, and the good people didn't have a chance, and I'm going to have to hold my nose if I'm going to vote at all, and I really don't know what to do.
Hmm. So did you have a candidate during the primary season you found appealing or not?
Probably Mitt Romney.
Mm-hmm.
But I still had a lot of questions with him. I like Hillary, which is scary to some of my Republican friends, but I think she actually had the foreign policy experience and she could really take care of the nation, where I don't think Barack Obama has any experience that would help him be president other than a new vision.
Mm-hmm. So what if you were faced then, let's match these up, if you were faced with Obama, Clinton, McCain, Romney tickets, who would you vote for then?
I'm still holding my nose, but I guess I would probably go with McCain.
McCain.
But immigration really turns me off with him. His stance, I don't think either one of them know really what America wants on immigration and are willing to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a huge issue for me.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. And we can certainly look at issues this hour, too. What are the issues that are driving you? It seems to me as though the big issue, and I'm not sure either candidate has come up with a complete plan here, but the number of Americans who just don't like the direction of the country and the number of Americans who are hurting. I think a lot of people are hurting right now in terms of their pay not keeping up with the cost of inflation, the cost of gasoline, what's happening with housing, that our houses just aren't worth, and it's our biggest investment, what they used to be. I'm not sure we have a plan for an economic recovery, for an economic boost, for having people have lives that are a little bit more less difficult. Let's put it that way. I'm not sure that – I think that's the issue. What do you think? Is that the issue this go around? Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Should you be joining us in Milwaukee, the Milwaukee line is 414-227-2050. Kind of an extension of our All Things Political this hour, asking if you have strong support for any candidate right now. And I'm glad our first caller moved us into the direction of issues, or second caller moved us in the direction of the issues that are moving you, and if you think the candidates are responding to those. And then an extension of the first hour as well, if there is a vice presidential choice that you think would round out the ticket and make you more excited about voting. So it's yours this hour. Take this rare opportunity. It's yours. Sally is next from I-94. Hi, Sally.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm just calling in, was listening to the program. I'm an Obama fan, and I think he should go with Hillary for vice president.
Okay, because?
Because of health care reform. I think that he'll have a hard time getting anything passed unless he has a real strong opponent like Hillary for VP.
Okay, because that's been labeled as her issue? Is that what makes you?
Yeah, it's been her issue, and I think if you have too much change, if he's not going with somebody who's really is kind of a Washington insider, which I hate to say, he might give up some of the opportunities he has to really make change. And I think that healthcare reform will really help the company or the country as far as economically. Because if you look at historically, like all of Europe, after World War II, when they opened up and had kind of more of a socialized healthcare, it really allowed their countries to perform better economically as well.
Mm-hmm. So for you, when it comes to issues, would I be correct in saying, Sally, that healthcare is number one?
Yeah, I think healthcare is number one. And then I would say the environment and the war and economy. I think, though, if we get someone in who's going to really take care of what's going on overseas and why we're at war and kind of, gets that all cleaned up, it will really help us economically as well.
Okay. Thank you, Sally. Let's go to Jean from Rice Lake. Hi, Jean.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Go right ahead, Jean.
Oh, I was just going to say that I since I've written in John McCain in the last two elections, I will probably be voting for him. But this is the first time that I can remember in years and years that I actually am not going to be voting against somebody. So if Obama wins, that would be fine also.
Well, that's interesting. You don't mind who wins, huh?
Well, I would prefer John McCain to win.
Right.
But I'm not voting against Obama.
Okay. And what about the vice presidential choices? Have you thought about that? Does it make a difference to you?
No, of course, the pundits are saying that John McCain's best choice would be Condoleezza Rice, which would cover all the other bases.
But right. Is that exciting for you or not?
No, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Well, I'm glad to hear there's somebody out there who's going to be happy no matter what happens in November, right?
Right.
All right. Good. Thanks very much, Jean.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Scott from DeForest is next. Hi, Scott.
All right, Kathleen, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Could you do me a favor and do that part again where you say what an intelligent, informed audience we are? I just ask in that.
I'd be happy to.
the reason I'm calling is that I have come to the conclusion, and by the way, your guest last hour is great. I read it. I actually pick up that paper and really, really enjoyed its article. And I think that, you know, you can hierarchically, I think, rate these traits. And theoretically, I guess that's what these selection committees do, which makes you wonder how they come up with somebody like Dan Quayle. But I'm kind of convinced that Richardson would be his best choice, just simply because I think the Hispanic vote is probably going to be real key in this election. On the other hand, I think it's actually probably more important if he should win as to who McCain picks, because my guess is McCain is a one-term president, just even based on health and age, and if he is successful and has a successful presidency, which I don't know how either of them can actually do given what we're facing, whoever got that job would be in the prime position to run in 12 as the Republican nominee. So
mm-hmm.
I think it's a real fascinating time, isn't it?
It is a very fascinating time. I'm not bored with this at all, and we've been covering it for 15 months, Scott.
You keep it up, Kathleen, because there's nobody does it better, and I love your programs. I love your Mondays.
Thanks, Scott. Thanks for calling.
Thank you so much.
We're doing an extension, really, of what we did first hour, a little bit beyond that. We thought we would just give you a chance to talk politics this hour because we do so much of it. And because you are, I will reinforce this, Scott, such a smart, politically engaged audience. It's always interesting to hear what you have to say. So we're asking if you have strong support for McCain, Obama, or a third party, if the race is disappointing you or engaging you as it goes along, general thoughts about the race. And because we talked about the vice presidential candidates, who it is you would like to see announced. What would make you excited? And then if there is a dominant issue that will move you as you go to the polls, what it is. We've already heard people talk about healthcare being number one. What is it for you that will make you vote for one person over another if there is an issue or a set of issues that you deem incredibly important? All right, back to phone calls, and our email is working now as well. So that's talk@WPR.org, and if you would like to join us on the air to talk, it's 800-486-8655, in Milwaukee, 414-227-2050. I'm Kathleen Dunn. More phone calls in a moment. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And we go back to your phone calls now. Carrie from Augusta is next. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, good morning. My comment has to do with, well, first of all, I'm a huge Obama supporter, just to be right up front on that, have been behind him before he even put his name into the campaign. But I'm hoping that he will actually share not only a vice presidential candidate, but also a cabinet when we move forward, so that he would potentially, like, if Joe Biden's not a vice presidential candidate, he would say Secretary of Defense. Where would John Edwards fit in terms of maybe poverty? Where would Hillary, if she's not vice president, maybe Health and Family Services or whatever that department is? But he would actually share his whole cabinet. And I agree with a prior caller. I think Richardson really is my thought in terms of a vice presidential candidate. I think he would really bring not only the Latino piece, but really the dimension of international politics also. And so that would be kind of my push. But I think if he can present the entire package and also bring in independents into that cabinet and Republicans, maybe Hagel could sit on that. You know, who would other people be? Because we want to have this be united. We want the best minds coming together to fix these problems that we have here in our country. I think I'm behind Barack because I really believe he can do that.
It would be nice to know who the cabinet would be, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That would make it'd be a good thing for us to know.
Yeah. So thanks, Kathleen, for having this discussion.
Thanks, Carrie. Okay, bye. Laverne from Monroe is next. Hi, Laverne.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Morning, Laverne.
It should absolutely be Hillary. First thing, she's a woman, and that would kind of take that side in. Because women have legitimate complaint as well as the blacks do. We used to farm, and when got Social Security, my wife gets half the Social Security check I received.
Mm-hmm.
So she's only half of a person. Isn't that insulting?
Mm-hmm.
And here's the major reason. It's the economy. And Obama wants to tax the hedge fund dealers. He says he could give every senior citizen, and senior citizens have a lot of health expense, that they wouldn't have to pay any federal income tax, and they'd get it from taxing hedge fund dealers. Hillary wants to do the exact same thing. It'd take two people to get that through the Senate with all the lobbyists they got down there. And I understand the hedge fund dealers, and here's the scary part, they're not even registered as lobbyists. I wish you'd get a program on that. How can somebody pushing $20 million around down there in Washington not even be registered? I used to be a Common Cause member. I just can't figure out how these people can get away with that. That's highway robbery.
Okay, Laverne.
So I think Hillary should be the candidate, and you know, for vice president, and I think it should be done early, like you say.
All right. Thanks, Laverne. Appreciate your call. Karen is next from Platteville. Hi, Karen.
Hi, I'm just a person who thinks that we ought to have a real election and not a selection by the Supreme Court or a failed election in Ohio like in 2004. And my candidate, although he's not on the ballot, Jimmy Carter, could hit the ground running. He really doesn't have to go out and campaign very much, and he can sit by the fireside with a sweater and talk to us like Roosevelt did.
Jimmy Carter, you're saying?
Yes, he's eligible for another term.
Oh, he's your candidate for the presidency.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But he's he's up there in years, isn't he?
So, I know a lot of people who could outwalk younger people at 80.
Right.
It depends on, you know, their condition.
Okay. All right, Karen, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call. We go next to Colin from Appleton. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
I just wanted to comment. I heard McCain made a speech before the Democratic nominee had been wrapped up about foreign policy. I forget where, but he stated about the G8 that he was looking to try to expel Russia and at the same time admit India and Brazil, but keep China out of it. And the idea to me that we would antagonize two world powers like that when our military is already stretched thin, to me, it got completely ignored by the media in the Democratic process, and I just have not heard anything about it. And to me, this is just an insane idea that we would be trying to do something like that. I mean, there's no word about it. It just baffles me.
Mm-hmm. So do you have strong support for somebody else in this race then?
I do support Obama primarily because of his GI Bill proposal. I think that is a wonderful idea. I think that the last time we had something similar, you know, after World War II, it was a tremendous boost for this country in many ways, and
mm-hmm.
I just think that that's a really great idea. McCain has obviously come out against it. He wants to support retention, and I can understand that argument, but I think it's the wrong decision. I think we need to be offering those kind of benefits to our veterans. So.
All right. Thanks, Colin, very much for your call.
Thank you.
We go next to Jackie from Wheaton, Illinois. Hi, Jackie.
Hi. I just wanted to comment. I'm a passionate Barack Obama supporter, and I am interested in Barack Obama selecting Jim Webb as his vice presidential candidate because I like the fact that both people are very admirable authors. They're good writers, and I just think that having such a great command of language and ideas to be able to produce a book-length work is
yep.
exciting.
Mm-hmm. And they're both good authors, don't you think?
Exactly. Yeah, they're wonderful writers, both of them, in
right.
very different ways.
Right. Well, I think Webb's got to be way up there as Obama is, and it's just what I think. I think he's got to be way up there when it comes to a choice, don't you think? Because of the foreign policy experience, the war experience, et cetera.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Very strong. And my biggest issue, of course, is the Iraq War, which is another reason why Jim Webb is an interesting VP candidate, in my opinion.
All right, Jackie. Thanks so much
Thank
for the
you.
Call.
Bye-bye.
We have lines open right now. We're doing a general all things political with you being our guest this hour, asking if you have strong support for either of the major candidates, Obama or McCain, or if you are a third party person and why you feel that way. The issues, I'm particularly interested in the issues that are moving you. Is it the economy? Is it the war? The expansion of the GI Bill, I thought, was an interesting response here. Healthcare reform, someone said, is certainly number one and influences their choice for vice president as well. So we're just open on the phone lines. Lines are open for you. 800-486-8655 is our number. 800-486-8655. If you are in Milwaukee, it's 414-227-2050. And I'll read your email, too, if it's good. And you want to send us an email. That system is up and running now. And it's talk@WPR.org. Talk@WPR.org. Dorothy from Madison, hi.
Hi. Well, I will vote for Obama. I wish he would get Nader on his cabinet. I think Nader is for the workers. I'm for the workers. I think the Democrats have been trying to act like Republicans for quite a long time, and I noticed Obama has started talking like them, too. I don't like that at all. I am 84 years old, and I am really a socialist at heart. I think the workers should have more say in this country, but we have allowed corporations to do everything. I don't know what each senator and congressman needs 77 lobbyists for working for them. They don't listen to the people they represent at all. And really, I think our government is very sick, and I think maybe the day is coming I won't be here. But the workers will revolt, I hope. That's all I have to say.
Thanks, Dorothy. Thanks very much for the call.
You're welcome.
Yeah, Dorothy sounds pretty lively to me. I think she's going to be around for a while. I would agree with Dorothy. Do you agree with this or not, that this fact that workers, that people are hurting right now, I think is a major thing in this campaign. I really do. You look at what people are making. I've said this at the top of the hour. I'll just say it again. How much money they're making, that raises aren't keeping up with the cost of inflation, that people are having a hard time with health care, certainly with fuel. It's just changing the way that everybody's living. And I'm not sure that the candidates have addressed this yet. Maybe nobody knows exactly how to address it yet, but it's a huge issue, isn't it? Huge issue. Sean from Edgerton is next. Hi, Sean.
Hello.
Hi.
I guess my big issue with this campaign is that when John McCain said, you know, what's the big deal with Americans being in Iraq for 100 years? And I hear a lot of that, but I don't hear the connections, his connections to the Project for a New American Century and the neocons who have come up with this. And now I understand he's sharing offices with what's left of the Project for a New American Century, something called the Round Table. Have you heard about this, or do you know why this isn't addressed? I mean, just to sum it up clearly, they basically, the Project for a New American Century, anyone can check out the Statement of Principles online,
mm-hmm.
signed by some of our leaders. Basically, it seeks military control of the world, and McCain is right in line with this, and I'm wondering why no one's talking about this and why supporters aren't, you know, talking about how he does want to take over the world with military strength.
Well, that might be going a little far, don't you think, that that's his desire? We did a lot of shows on that organization back when we were debating the merits of going into Iraq or not. I didn't know that he was sharing offices. I didn't even know if that organization is still kicking. It is?
The people in it are still kicking.
Right.
And he's sharing the offices with them. Yeah, I believe if you still go to the McCain website, it's something called the Round Table.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see, signers of the Project for New American Century in his Round Table. So clearly they're affiliated.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wish, you know, people would question him on that. And I would like someone to question Barack Obama, and like them to ask him, does he approve of the Project for a New American Century Statement of Principles? Does he support it or not? There's no talk about that, and I think clearly that's what's got us into all of this mess with Iraq
mm-hmm.
and domination. And this isn't a conspiracy theory. As crazy as it sounds, it's been proudly signed, and you can still check it up to this day online.
So. Right. No, I'm familiar with the Project for New American Century, not as much with the roundtable, so I'll look that up.
Thank you very
Thanks,
much.
Thanks, Sean. Thanks for the call. Our number is 800-486-8655, and let's go to John from Park Falls. Hi, John.
Morning, Kathleen.
Hi, John.
I just want to bring up the fact that Senator Obama, I think it was on the 2nd of July, was speaking at the University of Colorado, and he outlined his plans for national service programs.
Yeah, right.
As a former Peace Corps volunteer, I feel very strongly about that. George Bush, in his State of the Union address in 2002, vowed to double the size of the Peace Corps in 5 years, and he has not managed to do that because, as a friend of mine in the State Department put it, the dollars are going to Baghdad instead. But Senator Obama is talking about doubling the size of the Peace Corps and reinvigorating AmeriCorps. And as someone, as I said, who has spent time in the Peace Corps, I'm strongly in favor of some kind of national service other than the military, which is not to say not the military, but that we ought to have give other options to our young people.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, it was good to hear him give that kind of speech.
Yeah, it was.
And what's happening with AmeriCorps? Is it expanding now or not?
I don't think so.
No.
What I've been able to determine, President Bush renamed it and put some separate divisions into it, but I don't think anything really has come of that much either.
Mm-hmm.
I think the same problem that everybody's having, that there is no money left in the general fund because, as again, this friend of, not a friend of mine, but a woman that I met from the, was in the, with the State Department, and she said all the dollars are going to Baghdad, and there's just other programs have to suffer because of that.
Thank you, John, for your call.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Yes. Let's go next to Roger from Fitchburg. Hi, Roger.
Hi. Like a previous caller, I'm really a socialist. There's a Socialist Party candidate for president. I think they should get our contributions and more attention. They'd give us a totally socialized medicine like they have in France, more equitable distribution of income as they have in many of the European countries. The Socialist Party has been in power off and on in many of those countries, and I think that that's why they have a better situation. So
okay.
I'd give them our contribution and attention. I think that our socialist candidate should be president, or Ralph Nader would do very well also.
Thank you very much, Roger, for your call. Amos is next from Sauk County. Hi, Amos.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi.
I'm highly upset about Obama's shift to the right, and Arianna Huffington had a nice piece in Huffington Post the other day, which was talking about how what he's doing is for losers. It's not a practical thing. And I can't remember the incident of about a month ago where you look at the mainstream corporate media and you look at they make these ridiculous, I don't remember what the issue was, but he bought into it. And I thought, okay, here's a sign that he's going to capitulate to the agenda of the mainstream media, and then sure enough, we've got campaign finance, total about face on that, which he had tons of money. He had no reason to do that, and he could have taken the high road. I mean, McCain, you can walk over McCain in terms of the general election. And then FISA comes up, and he doesn't stand up for that. And I wrote stuff in support of Obama, cautiously optimistic that he might turn into a leader. And I don't know if it's his advisors, when we know Democratic advisors are crazy, and they've been crazy for years. But what he's doing is he's driving away the base of people that would do a lot of time and energy and money to support somebody who would take a leadership role when it comes to an intelligent foreign policy, when it comes to civil liberties at home, and not dragging us into more wars and basically running this country down the tubes. He's got an opponent who is just ridiculously weak, and I just can't say how disgusted I am with him. And you know, I was telling when I called his office about this latest thing with FISA, I said, you know, I'm still going to hold my nose and vote for him, but I certainly am not going to write anything for him.
Hmm.
And at this point, I don't even know if I'm going to vote for him.
Really?
Yeah, it's just at some point. I mean, I've been watching this since Ronald Reagan in 1980, and every 4 years, the Democrats say, we have to be practical, we have to take the agenda of the right, and we have to discuss it on their terms. And so every 4 years, they keep moving to the right, and then the right wing the what used to be a responsible Republican Party keeps on going to the right. And at some point, you just have to give up. I mean, I started giving up at 2000 and saying, I'm not going to play this game anymore when it comes to votes. But this election is so critical, and he could just set the agenda at this point. And if he took somebody, another thing I was going to mention was that if he took Russ Feingold as a vice president, you've got a perfect build-in assassination-proof plan, because nobody's going to try and assassinate Obama if they knew they'd get Russ Feingold as vice president. So, I mean, you got the whole, I mean, you could totally change the course of this country if he was the leader he claimed he was. And, I see him as just, you know, bowing down to the corporate media and the corporate interests and saying, we'll play your game and we'll put all these ads on TV and we'll put our little APAC pens on our lapels
Disgusting. Let me give you, we've got an email coming in so you can debate with this person who's not online, but Len has written, Obama's not moving to the right. Two things are happening. One, people are getting to know him better. He's not a wild-eyed radical leftist. And two, some formerly leftist positions, opposition to the war, universal health care, et cetera, are now more mainstream.
I felt that Obama, I was, you know, I didn't like Hillary Clinton at all. And I felt that Obama had the potential to be a Robert Kennedy, where he was rapidly moving during those stresses of Vietnam and everything. He was moving to a different position because he had an inner character and a leadership ability which enabled him to look at the world situation and say, I'm going to try things differently. And so when people said, well, Obama was never this or that, you know, I looked at his background and, you know, like I would say when I'd write letters to the editor, you know, it's, you know, I'm not saying he's great and I'm not saying that he isn't beholden to special interests, but he has the potential to grow under stress. And one of the things that really attracted me to him and a lot of people to him was that I really felt he had that community organizing background where it wasn't like Hillary Clinton, which is, you know, I am the dictator, I say what goes, and everybody follows. It was that I understand that this is a larger effort and that my campaign has made it up of a lot of highly intelligent and foreign people that can help move this country in the right direction. And I feel that he's, you know, and his advisors and his own lack of character where he's saying, okay, you people don't matter, and these are some of the most well-informed, thoughtful people in the country. Don't matter what matters is getting this elusive middle road, which, you know, would vote for him anyway or not vote for McCain. And that's, you know, I mean, that opponent he's running against is not a strong opponent. And if there ever was a time when he should have taken his principles and do things, I mean, you know, when things come, when you're in a period in history where you need leadership, some people, even you can parse their background, tear them apart, and say they did this and this and this 5-10 years ago, but you need to look at the character of a person, and you need to say, okay, does he have the potential to become a serious leader when push comes to shove? And I always felt that he had that potential, and I don't feel that anymore.
Okay, thank you very much for your call. Thank you. Let's go next to Darla from Madison. Hi, Darla.
Hi. I just wanted to make a comment about this term working people. Mm-hmm. Of this country. There seems to be this image of the working people and then the corporations as these sort of evil entities out there. But these corporations, somewhere along the way, somebody had to put up some money and take a lot of risk to start these things. And these people are working people just like everybody else.
Right. Yeah, I think it's probably too broad a term. I agree with you. We're probably taking in people who are not making a whole lot of money. I think there are a lot of people who are hurting right now. So perhaps we're contrasting that with those people who are working and who are making a lot of money. But we're looking at middle class, working class people. Those are terms that we've used, I think. I think that a lot of people are hurting right now in America. And those who have a whole lot are not as much, but those who, you know, commuting, their houses aren't worth very much, and that's their most precious asset. I think that those are the group of people we're talking about, Darla. Are you there?
Hello?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, hi.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. I don't think that, sure, we're all working. Some are finding it easier to manage, I think, than others. And those who are not finding it easy to manage, my question was whether or not you felt that either of the candidates or any of the candidates had some kind of plan to make everybody move ahead.
Sorry, I just wanted to make a comment about the prior caller. I think I don't remember her name, but a prior caller's comment. But there just seems to be this image that corporations are evil, and it's evil to make money, a lot of money, and it's, you know, there are people, you're right, that are hurting right now, and there are also people who are making more money, but there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with making money.
Mm-hmm. All right, Darla.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Here's an email, Ray from Chilton. You can respond to these emails as well. Why did John McCain win the nomination? It was because he was more familiar to the public in general than any other candidate. Why was that? It was because of his hundreds of TV show appearances, cable news, Sunday morning talk, Jay Leno, Letterman, etc. Over many years, no one else in politics comes close to matching that. I'm pointing this out to you because I've never heard that point discussed in print or on broadcast shows. All right. Thanks, Ray, for your call. All right. Let's go to more phone calls. And Joe is next from Milwaukee. Hi, Joe.
Hi there. I really think that I'm very disappointed with Barack Obama first. And I think that his slide to the right, in my opinion, started when he addressed AIPAC and promised that Jerusalem would be the undivided capital of Israel, which is, for anybody who understands anything about the situation there, that is an unqualified deal breaker for any kind of peace. And the war on terror and all the money we're spending on it, all really, you know, in the eyes of many analysts, including the Iraq study group, Tony Blair, Jimmy Carter, you name it, people from the right, Pat Buchanan, even, they see that conflict as being central to the recruitment for terrorism and for fundraising for terrorism. And to suggest that that would be a condition is a sellout to AIPAC and to the ultra right of the, you know, of the country. And I'm just very disappointed with that move.
So what will you do with that disappointment? Are you looking to support somebody else? Are you supporting somebody else?
Well, you know, he prefaced his candidacy on not selling out to big PAC groups. And in my opinion, while he didn't necessarily accept a lot of money from them, I know he accepted some money from them, but he sold out to them ideologically, because what he suggested there is an unqualified mistake. It is never going to fly. It's not fair. It's not right. And it's not right from a policy perspective, from a security perspective, either for Israel or for the United States. And it's not right morally either. I mean, it would require removing so many Palestinian people from their homes. I mean, it would be it's wrong on every level, and it makes it difficult for me to believe that he's going to, you know, maintain this idea of change. Honestly, when he talked about change, I thought he was talking about our position in the world, and mostly that which kind of led us to the place that we're at now. But if he's not talking about, you know, doing something really radical in the situation in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, which is at the heart of Middle Eastern terrorism, has been for 40 years, then I don't see there being a great deal of change. We'll still be, inundated with terrorism and threats of terrorism. We'll still be spending all the money to try to, you know, keep it at bay, and yeah, I don't see any kind of change. And if we have to keep spending that kind of money on the war in Iraq, and, you know, the looming war with Iran, if the ultra-wacko right wings are able to get us to fall for that as well, then, you know, there's not going to be enough money for health care anyways without, you know, taxing people into submission.
All right. Thanks, Joe, for your call. More phone calls in a moment. 800-486-8655 is our number. 214-227-2050 in Milwaukee. And the email address is talk@WPR.org. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And we go back to phone calls. Ann from Madison is next. Hi, Ann.
Hi. I think that basically the only real Democratic candidate the Democrats had was Dennis Kucinich. And in a society like this, which is run by the corporations which own the media, or control the media. People like Kucinich and Ralph Nader are ridiculed from the moment they set foot on the public doorstep, and they're hounded out of any meaningful participation in, certainly in presidential politics. But, and I guess I'll probably, you know, I hate to say who I'm going to vote for. I definitely wouldn't vote for John McCain, who's been a hellraiser and a, you know, kind of a mediocre guy all his life. But I think what Barack Obama did was, as soon as he got the nomination, the Democratic Party's corporate bigwigs got hold of him, and including the Hillary Bill Clinton people, and told them, you've got to go to the Senate or you're not going to get elected. And that was tried with John Kerry, and all his supporters completely lost interest in him because the people who had supported him and been enthusiastic about him up to that point realized that he just wanted to win, and he was under the control of the corporate powers that are absolutely strangling the United States at this point. And I think if he, you know, people had the feeling that he was in control of his consultants until he got the nomination, not the other way around. And now they feel the consultants are telling him what to do, and those consultants will do anything for money. And I think that unless he tells them where to get off, he has a chance of losing. And if this campaign hadn't been going on for a year and a half, I don't think any Republican would have had a prayer of winning the presidency.
All right, Ann, thank you very much for your call. Let's go next to an email here, Ann from Wautoma. I never thought that an Obama-Clinton ticket or the reverse is a dream ticket. They're two very strong people with tightly held views, and I don't think they would be able to reconcile those views between them. Thanks for your comment, Ann from Wautoma. 800-486-8655 is the number. We have a couple lines open for you right now, 414-227-2050. We're giving you the hour. You are our guest this hour as we talk about your general thoughts on how the presidential race is going, whether or not you have strong support, wavering support, middling support, or no support for the major party candidates or for third party candidates. We'd like to hear from you this hour. Herb is next from Winchester. Hi, Herb.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
There has been a lengthy discussion about Obama shifting his position. We've talked about it for about half an hour now. The one thing that comes to my mind and hasn't been discussed or explained is, should we look at it as a change in political position, his moving to the right? Or should we look at it simply as this is just muddying the waters and fooling the public? I'd like to hear a discussion on this.
Fooling the public, what do you mean, Herb?
Fooling the voters, in other words, presenting someone who he really isn't.
I see. Okay. Are you going? Who are you supporting, Herb, do you want to say?
I'm still open.
You are? Okay. Thanks very much for the call. Rolf is next from Marshfield. Hi, Rolf.
Well, thanks for having me on, Kathleen, and thank you for letting other opinions on here.
Sure.
Yes, I'm going to go to the Constitution Party. They want to go back to the old Constitution. He's totally against abortion, and Obama, he's totally even for abortion after the child is born. After the child's been born, he's allowed a child to be killed. And I would never even consider voting for him. Hillary Clinton, she's as crooked from day one. She lies from morning till night. And I'm totally against her. Hillary Clinton and both John McCain are in with the international bankers. Yes. And so I wouldn't even consider, and I encourage people to look back in the old history of Hillary and Bill Clinton, how corrupt they were before he was elected to the President of the United States of America. They were corrupt way back then. Do you want corrupt people in your government? No.
And where is this information coming from that Obama was for the killing of a child after he or she was born?
When he ran for the, they had a bill before an Illinois legislator when he was still a legislator in Illinois.
Uh-huh.
And they had a bill before him that they would make it illegal to kill a child if a child was born, they wouldn't be allowed to let the child die. He refused to sign that bill.
Yeah, I'm not real familiar with that. Is there somebody who's the head of the Constitution Party, Ralph? Have you got a candidate here or not?
Well, Chuck Baldwin is the head, is the candidate running for the Constitution Party. If you want a number to call.
Oh, no, we don't want to do that over the air. So maybe you just want to give that to John. Okay? Yeah, we don't want to give numbers over the air because, you know, you never know who's calling. Thanks, Ralph, for the call. Jim from Galena, Illinois?
Yes.
Hi.
I was checking the things that aren't reported by the media. For instance, most people that I asked do not know that Russia and China have signed a defense treaty with Iran. And the other day, you remember when Obama redefined what he said about being out in 16 months? He said, I will listen to my generals. I said, 16 months is what I want, but I will listen to my generals. And then the same day that that happened, in the New York Times was McCain calling the Russian president in March and telling him they need to rethink democratizing more or else they may be thrown out of the G8. And the Russian president laughed and said, America needs to deal with this depression and not worry about us. Economically speaking, the G8 isn't democracy. It's about the economics. And they don't even know. They don't even report things that are so much important than what the people are saying on a daily basis is what is happening. As if we attack Iran, we're going to have to deal with Russia and China. And I don't think we're up to it. And I don't think we're up to another war. It's insane. And Taiwan, for example, we spent trillions defending Taiwan and now they're China's buddy. Why did we waste that money? Hmm. And if we overthrow Iran, that particular government, who's to say that their next government won't be worse than this? I just think we need to shut up, stay home, and work on becoming a powerhouse again.
Okay, Jim, thanks so much for your call. Our number, 800-486-8655. A couple lines are open. Rick next from Durand. Hi, Rick.
Good morning.
Hello.
Just a quick comment. I'm out here in the workforce and really struggling to try to make ends meet and raise a family. I spend $650 a month on my own health insurance. The fuel costs are $1,000 a month extra now just to get around. And I'm getting tired of hearing, I know a couple of weeks ago they talked about Senator Obama, who only has $300 million to spend on his campaign. I think things have gotten turned upside down. We see CEOs running the companies into bankruptcy and getting million-dollar settlements to do that. So I'd like to see somebody address that sometime and maybe put some of that money back into our hands.
Mm-hmm. It is so much money, isn't it, Rick?
It's just staggering.
Right.
I mean, it's getting worse.
Mm-hmm. So are you supporting anybody or not?
Yeah, I have a family with three children.
No, I mean for president.
Oh.
I see what you're saying. That's a better answer.
I'm so disgusted with the whole system. I don't know. I haven't seen a good candidate in years, actually.
Hmm.
So I'm not exactly sure which way I'm going to go. I've been a Republican all my life. I'm 55.
Mm-hmm.
And I still have not decided.
Hmm. All right. Thanks very much for your call.
Have a good day.
Thanks. You too. Well, we have time for one more phone call, but we don't have one. So I'll just give you the number in case you want to quickly call in. 800-486-8655 is the number. Tomorrow on our programs, we're going to be looking at the newspaper business and seeing what its future is when you hear news of more layoffs at the state's largest paper and you look at what's happening online and whether or not newspapers are becoming obsolete. We'll look at that issue. It's hard to imagine a day without, well, for me, a lot of newspapers. We'll talk about that. And we also will have with us the author of Only a Theory, Evolution and the Battle for America's Soul. Our guest he's a professor of biology at Brown University, and he looks at the Dover, Pennsylvania case. Do you remember this? In the fall of 2005, he was on the stand, and so he'll be with us. Okay? Well, let's do one more phone call. We have time for it. Joseph from La Crosse. Hi, Joseph.
Hi, good morning, Kathleen. It's a pleasure to talk to you. I get to listen to you, but not to call in that often.
Oh, thanks, Joseph.
I just want to say I find myself supporting Obama in spite of the fact that I disagree with most of his policies, nearly all of them, actually.
Oh, my.
The problem is, or I should say his ideas of solutions, I don't think they're going to be very effective, but I cannot imagine the Supreme Court, the Constitution of the Supreme Court, with a Republican president picking the next possibly 1 to 3 judges over the next 4 to 8 years. I just can't. I don't think the country can afford it. I think we have to keep a balance at the very least in the Supreme Court, and we're moving away from a balance right now. And I think if we had an ultra conservative Supreme Court, which is ultimately what it would be if McCain picked the judges, I think it would be detrimental to the country as a whole. So as a result, I support Obama for president.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay, thanks, Joseph, so much for
your
call.
Welcome.
And now we have a lot of callers. I'm sorry we just ran out of time, but I'm glad we got one more in. Thanks to John Anderson for doing on-air production, and thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing the program. And thanks, everybody, for all of your calls. I knew you'd follow through and be interesting to listen to with lots of good thoughts on this presidential campaign. We're with you again tomorrow at 9 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.